We're on a train to glory. Amen. We're on a train to glory. Well, so far this year, we started out, and we didn't really get started out because it was too cold, but so we repeated ourselves a little. It's good for us to stay caught up. And the Lord had said to the disciples, go tell everybody about this new life. And so we have to have a new life to tell about a new life. And we have to enter into that new life to have something to tell about. And then last week we talked about evaluation revelation, about understanding our value to God, that we are valuable to God. We know Scripture that tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. We know that he paid a price for us. But those can be just facts. And it's important that we get down into our heart and into our soul that we're of great value to God. Because you value those who value you. And so since he's the one, it says that we love because he first loved us, then obviously our love is going to go and grow in proportion to how much we're loved. If we're not feeling loved, then we aren't so lovable back in the natural. In the natural, we really take on the truth of you reap what you sow, or do unto others as they would do unto you. But with Jesus, he says, love your enemies. He says to bless those that curse you. What he says is impossible without the foundation of his deep love for us. And no matter what, if he loves me, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. But without that understanding of your real value to God, and your real value to God, not the world encompassing God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, That's too big for us to understand, but we can understand when we are personally loved. When we understand that it's face to face, I love you. God, face to face with you, I love you. That really, if you were the only one in the world, and that's how he sees you, as the only one in the world, you are personally singled out by God because you are so loved by God. Now, you know, we'll try to apply that kind of thing to excuse some things, you know, like somebody will say that they love three different women. Some guy, you know, I love them all the same. You can't love them all the same. And not too often have there ever been three women that I know of that would be excited about a guy who says, well, I love her as much as I love you. But it should be easy to understand in the natural. That's what we think. But yet when it comes to God loving us individually and loving us personally and us being the most important to him, oh, that's just too much because there's just too many. No, God's the only one that can actually do that. God's the only one that can love you the most, and you the most, and you the most, and you the most. He's the only one that can possibly love 15 or 16 or 17 of us the most, and we can be absolutely confident of it, if we will. He loves me the most. Because he said he loves me the most. That's enough. And in that lies that I've learned to be content in all situations. Because normally, in our humanness, we are very seldom content. We might have a little peace about something, but we've got a discontent about something else. You know the response to, yeah, I know, but. I got that, but I don't get that. Isn't it nice to know that even though we don't get it, we can just accept it with God? And so, gathering into ourselves how valuable we are to God, that in turn causes us to value our relationship with Him. And the most important thing is that we value our relationship with Him. And when we value our relationship with Him, then we receive the value that He puts on the relationship. So it's no longer a thing of, am I reading my Bible enough? Am I praying enough? Are my thoughts right? Are my actions right? You know, it's... You're never secure. What am I doing wrong? Well, we're probably all doing things wrong. But God isn't looking at that. He's looking at, hey, I value you. Do you believe that I value you? Do you believe that I care for you? Can you be okay with just knowing that I love you? Can you just rest in my love? Just because, you see, in His love, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. It doesn't matter what else. He is all sufficient. He said, I am God Almighty. And you are precious in my sight. Now then, we come to the touchy subject of, did you know you were a sinner? See, Jesus says that He didn't come for those who thought they were righteous. He came for those who were sure they were sinners. Because if we're sure we're sinners, we're sure we need salvation. See, everybody wants salvation. Nobody that catches a glimpse, even a little glimpse of the truth, chooses hell over heaven. Everybody would prefer to go to heaven. So then everybody wants salvation. But there's a lot of people, I believe, that want salvation that aren't so sure they're sinners. Because they're not as bad as me. Or they're not as bad as you. See, I knew before I ever got to know the Lord that I had some flaws. I knew that I did wrong things. And there may have even been times when I broached the idea that I was a sinner. But that wasn't very comfortable. And so you justify it as, well, yeah, I know I do some wrong things, but everybody does. You know, when you have a Christian who says, well, everybody sins. You got a Christian that is trying to make themselves comfortable with the fact that they sin. Even though it's the truth. Everybody does, but you see, there's a difference in everybody sins. Hey, everybody sins. Nobody's perfect. Jesus is perfect. And from time to time, we're perfect. We have perfect times. We should have perfect times. If we claim Christ, we should have times when we are actually perfect. Now, it could be short-lived, could be long-lived. We could have a good day, good week, good month. We could have a good year, you know. Maybe with some little interruptions, but, you know, I mean, it's not like a thing of, we say, well, you know, everybody's a sinner. No, people sin, but everybody's not a sinner. There's a difference in being a sinner and sinning. There's some people that are, I'm a sinner and I'm proud of it. And don't you go thinking you're better than me. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying, look, did you know when you came to Christ, did you know you're a sinner? Because that's who he came for. People who knew they were sinners. But and it isn't, I'm not asking you to go thinking through your head on this, but the fact of the matter is that we all know people who don't want to give up anything, but they do want to go to heaven. Who are religious enough to stand out and say, I'm glad that I'm not like that sinner over there. I mean, I may do some things wrong, but I don't really have any sins anymore. If it's wrong, it's a sin. So when you sin, do you know that you're sinning? Because you can't be forgiven if you don't know you're sinning. Because if you don't know you're sinning, you aren't going to be forgiven. Because you aren't going to repent. David said, cleanse me of my secret faults, Was David just not naming his sins, or was David just making sure that he had all the bases covered? Maybe both. Search me and know my ways. He was willing to say, I may not see everything quite as deep as a sin as you do, God. I may rationalize some things away. I may justify some things away. Because, God understands. I'm just human. We are. We're just human. But if we're going to experience the joys and the understanding of how valuable we are to God, and if we are going to enter into all of this new life that God has for us and experience God's best for us, then we're going to have to go all the way in to Him in all things. Obviously, there are things that maybe we hold near and dear and they aren't so bad, or at least we've convinced ourselves that they aren't so bad, but those aren't so bad things are keeping us from the best things. Football playoffs are on, and they got all those replays now, and they can see, and it looks like the person stayed in bounds, and then they show the slow-mo from 12 different directions, and you can see that he caught just a little bit of the line. It's out of bounds. He didn't step clear out of bounds. He didn't step full on the line. His shoe touched the line. Why do they need to be so nitpicky? If that's your team, of course. But if it's the other people's team, hit with the line, he hit the line, he hit the line. Well, we have to be cautious in our walk with God that we're not busy slow-mowing other people's actions and seeing whether they just hit the line, and we're standing clear out of bounds ourselves. Sin's not a wonderful subject. But as a Christian, we have to be aware of it. I am forgiven. I am. There's no doubt about that. And I would love if I was never needing forgiveness again. If I die right here, right now, before you, I'll be in that spot. I won't ever need forgiveness again. But I don't plan on dying right here, right now, before you. Although the Bible says that we have to die to self sometimes. And when we understand the value that we are to God, when we understand the new life that's on the other side of that, then we join Paul in saying, I've been crucified with Christ. I've died, yet I live. We join him in saying, I was the worst sinner of all. I know I was. And if we've come to that place with God, we can recognize, you know what, I was just as bad as Paul. Actually, I'm not sure I wasn't worse than Paul. Because otherwise we think, well, I'm not as bad as Paul. But Jesus said, understand this, I did not come for those who think they are righteous. I came for those who know that they're sinners. Because people who know they need rescuing are more grateful to their rescuer. You rescue, somebody gets rescued from the middle of a lake and they get out and say, what'd you do that for? I could have made it the rest of the way. Well, you were going down for the fifth time. We thought maybe we'd just, you know, bring you over. I could have made it. Okay, we'll roll you back out there. No. But yet there are people who think that they can get by without God at all. And there are those who think that they can get by with a partial commitment to God. There are people who think they can get by with a simple knowledge about God. But Jesus said, I came for those who are sure that they're sinners. Because then they will understand gratefulness. And God is big on gratefulness. He wants us to give thanks to Him because He wants to give us things to be thankful for. So there's a good possibility that somebody that is convinced that God has never done anything for them has never thought that they really needed Him. They're trying to get God to do what sometimes people are trying to do. They're trying to get God to prove to them that He's who He says that He is. While others are trying to prove to God that they care about Him, and the truth of the matter is, it's a love affair. So that we can enter in to His rest. Just enter in to His rest. Enter in to His peace. So that we can have godliness with contentment, and there's great gain. Everything is not perfect in anybody's life, but God is. And so if God is in our life, then we can move into rest. We can always choose to move in to His presence. And however long it takes to let that sink in, let it sink in. You know, if John, your hip hurts you. And if you can find a comfortable position or a position that has worked before, you'll sit in that position waiting for it to happen. Because you know that that's worked before. And so God welcomes us to just come and wait. Blessed are they who wait on the Lord. Blessed are they who wait upon the instruction of the Lord, of those who apply the instruction and then wait. When we went to the movies to see Star Wars, we went in and we bought our tickets and then we had to go sit down and then we had to wait for the show to start. We just had to wait. We headed over there thinking we were going to be late. But we had to wait. If you get there earlier, you have to wait longer, but you wait because you bought your ticket and you expect the show to start. When we know that we are sinners and we receive salvation, we step in and we wait for the show to start. They have little things that go up on the screen of don't be on your phone in the movie, don't do this, don't do that, you know. And usually everybody puts their phone on silent after somebody else's phone rings. Whoops, get that baby out. Well, for whatever reason, do what they say. Well, God just simply said, look, I came for you. I came for you. I came for everybody who knows they're a sinner. Who no longer wants to justify, rationalize, I'm not so bad. There's others who are worse. It doesn't matter who's better, who's worse, who's what. It matters that we know that we are sinners and we get away from it. And once we get away from it, you know, it feels good enough to be away from it that we want to get rid of it again if it comes up again. You know? I mean, if a mosquito is buzzing around your head in the night, you know, and you've hit yourself in the face about 40 times, and you finally come to peace with that mosquito, and that mosquito lands again, it's a great feeling when you get it. Well, things float around us and try to draw us back in and try to, and you know, and the problem is that sometimes people just get comfortable with sin. And people who are Christians get comfortable with sin. And say, well, we prayed afterwards. If you'd have prayed before, you wouldn't have got into that situation. So, the Bible says we should hate sin. You know, it's funny. We can often hate other people's sin really bad. But we can miss our own. Well, the good news is we can give up our own. We can let down our defenses and let down our walls and let down our excuses and let down all of those other things, and we let them down for a purpose. We let them down because we want what's in there. You can, we'll just stick on the movies. You can go into the movie theater and you can tell them, you know, I'd like to pay less for my ticket. Sorry, that's how much the ticket is. Well, you know, it's not like an online garage sale. You're not going to say, well, I'll give you $5. No, it's $8 or $9 or whatever it is. And it doesn't matter if you tell them that I used to go to the movies for 25 cents when I was a kid. Good for you. You can try every line you want to, but it won't work. And so if you want to go in, you pay what they wanted. Then comes the concession stand. Popcorn is not worth that much. But my wife likes the popcorn. And I, of course, like it if we have to pay for it. And so then we get the popcorn, and I've got to have both bags. I've got to have the two bags. One free if you pay the exorbitant price for the first one. Because I got to have it. And the second Coke, too. You got to have them both. I mean, that's the only way it's a reasonable deal. Never mind that you might be sick when you're all done. But you got to have it, and you're not going to get it for less. The only way to get it for less is to get the big bag set special. You pay extra so you can get extra. And with God, everything's free. I'll just make noise here. Forgive me.
Okay.
Don't you love that? Get on there. Okay, that's all done. Quit waving your arms around, you won't knock the microphone off your lap. Okay. So, what I'm saying is that Jesus just made it real clear, and he made it real simple. Everything of God is for you, and I came to open the door for you to have it. That's the whole thing. And so we simply, even as Christians, long-standing Christians, we still need to make sure that we know that Jesus came for sinners, and if I have sin, I don't want to keep sin. I don't want to harbor sin. I don't want to protect sin. I don't want it, because it keeps me from the next spot with God. It keeps me from the answer to my prayers. It keeps me from it. And we don't want anything that will keep us from God. And I'm not saying that sometimes it's not difficult. I'm not saying that sometimes it seems like a hard step. I'm not saying that you don't have things that in the natural, what, they just are unforgivable, and they're just unbearable, and they're just all of these different things. And there's all kinds of natural excuses and reasons why you're not going to give up your bitterness, or you're not going to give up your unforgiveness, or you're not going to do this, or you're not going to do that. But then, it'll cost me way more to stand outside of God's best than to just go through. Jesus said he came for those who knew. And he keeps those who recognize, who are spiritually aware, who are discerning, who can tell when the mosquito's buzzing, who's well aware that the enemy stands outside the door ready to devour whoever he can, and who sets a guard upon their heart and says, no. Because if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I've come that you might be free. Free. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that we have our freedom in you. And that it's not whether we've sinned. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's whether we have come to the place where we are uncomfortable with any sin, so that we can get rid of it, so that it can't rob us, so that it can't beat us up, so that it can't cause us to doubt, so it can't cause us to fear. We weren't built to handle those things. We want to be one with you, Lord. We broke the bread and we drank the cup. And we remember how highly you value us. And we declare that you are valuable to us as well. Thank you for this new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.